Eurovision. Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
12 points,
Ireland! Oh, guys, of everything.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. Oh my god, what a busy month it has been, but we are into a brand new month of February and we're getting closer and closer to Eurovision 2024. Get your St. Bridget's crosses out, you know, get make them with the rushes. Straw. Did you do that much in school as a kid? Because I never did.
Yeah, never all the like them. Rural teachers would go off home at the weekend and they bring back loads of rushes.
Never did that.
Yeah.
Never did that.
Oh, you're such a dub.
Such a dub.
Such a dub. I'm a dub.
I'll bat you.
Guys, can I point out, I don't think I've pointed it out since last year. No, seriously, listeners of the podcast. Hello, everyone, by the way. Listen out when Connor gets like a bit thick about something or like a bit passionate, he'll be like, he goes proper dub, like, it's gone. I always remember, was it, one of our early episodes, you asked, do you think Brooke will, she was on Dancing with the Stars as contestants, and you said, do you think she'll dance to That Rich? And I was like, oh, I don't know, like, would people dance their own song? Is that a bit weird? And you just go, other people have done it. She should do it. Why won't she do it?
She bet that. Oh, I love these kind of episodes.
We do some diversity sometimes. We have northern accents on here.
Especially you. I remember you last year when we were teasing the cities. Each city got its own accent.
Liverpool.
Glasgow.
The wheeze is back. The wheeze is back.
You can tell we've been rejuvenated since Eurosong. The wheeze is back.
Putting the wheeze in the wheeze. But
you gotta be,
you
gotta be practicing your meh. No, your Malmö.
Malmö.
Not Malmö, as Ray Darcy was calling it. Malmö.
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 There's a cow joke in there somewhere.
Malmö. But
why
today.
Why did the cow cross the road?
To get to the other side.
To get to Malmö.
About getting very tired, and usually when we're tired we struggle with episodes, but now we've had like a full on,
we've just had a big cup of tea as well in our Eurovision mugs. No, I think I'm having a mental breakdown. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Eurovision podcast. Thank you for staying with us this long. I swear there are things to talk about in this episode.
I swear there's things to talk about.
There's so many things. Not even touching like really any other country's entries yet again.
So no, we're literally in February, so we still haven't talked about
the
entries.
We're not going to talk about Eurosong, let me tell you. No, order of business today. We of course want to talk about the running orders, don't we, Connor?
We do, because we've had that the other day. So we know which semi-finals each country will be competing in, what countries in the big five, and Sweden will be voting in too. So we'll be dissecting that in this episode.
An amazing interlude. My favourite segment is back. H-sticky, H-sticky, Shakyol on Graw. Listeners, just know I was doing the musical theatre kid hands there.
Yeah,
just
had, know. The hands were flapping. And as well, after that little interlude, we've got a very, very special catch-up chat with Ireland's representative for 2024, Bambi Thug.
Send the witch.
Send the witch. Crown the witch. Crown the witch. Yeah, so it's an exciting little episode. I think it's getting us on the road now to Malmö because we've been touched. We've been stuck in Donnybrook for the last
month. Don't mention Malmö again because I'll think of it, the cow joke. I just recovered.
Oh, Jesus.
First little order of business, we do have a quick buy me a coffee shout out to one of our most loved listeners. We actually got some lovely chats in with him, didn't we, at the Late Late Studio, Connor?
We did. We'd like to say a big thank you to Declan Burke once again. He left a message this time saying, guys, well done again on a huge Eurosong week. You've gone above and beyond. It was great to catch up with you at RTE. Can't stress how important this coverage of Eurovision is to Irish fans. I truly believe a lot of the positive change we saw on this year's national final was down to the hard work and promotion you do for the contest in Ireland. Hopefully we build on this for next year and have a standalone broadcast. What a night. What a result. Bambi fucking thug, we're back, baby. Thank you so much, Declan, for
that. Thank you, Declan. Fantastic, Declan. Thanks again, you big bloody legend. And if you are interested in supporting us and buy me a coffee, you can, of course, find all of the details in the link tree in any of our bios, wherever you may find us. Connor.
Yes.
On Tuesday, the 30th of January, we went to Malmö for, first of all, the official handing over of the keys. Love the Liverpool key.
Gorgeous.
What a perfect way to finish out Liverpool's stint as the host city. I'm going to miss Liverpool. I feel like, you know, years are going to pass by, Connor, and we're going to be saying, remember Liverpool 2023? Mm. Like, that's just a classic year already, you know?
Yeah.
Really, really special year. For so many reasons, and of course, a big reason being that we're going back to Sweden. We're heading back to Malmö across the North Sea. So yes, Eurovision is now officially in Sweden. We're home, lads. We're back. And we had, of course, then the semi-final draw outcome, as well, of course, as, you know, figuring out where the big five in the host country are going to be voting as well. That's always kind of important for us because, you know, you want the UK to hopefully fall into Ireland's semi-final lap where possible. And I think having Sweden on our side can also be helpful too. So without further ado, Connor, shall we get stuck into the first semi-final?
Yeah. So the first semi-final, which of course will be taking place on the 7th of May 2024, will have the following countries. In the first half of semi-final one, we have Croatia, Cyprus, Ireland, Lithuania, Poland, Serbia, and Ukraine. Lou, what about the second half? Who's in the second half of the semi?
In the second half of semi-final one, we have Australia, Azerbaijan, Finland, Iceland, Luxembourg, Moldova, Portugal, Slovenia.
And of course, voting in the semi-final alongside these countries will be Germany, the UK and Sweden.
So, of course, hot topic for us. Bambi Thug is in the first half of semi-final one. Now, we do have a brief chat with Bambi about this. We don't want to give too much away there because that's coming later in the episode. Connor, this whole thing of semi-final allocations and even to an extent running order, you've got other factors like betting odds. Eurovision fans love a fret. We love a chat. We love a goss around all of these things. We were on Alicia Michelle's stream earlier on today and she made me laugh so much in her intro. She was saying, people tell me, it was something like, I don't want to do a terrible impression of Alicia, but something like, you know, people might say, you shouldn't read into these things too much, but I want to, yeah. Or like, but it's fun. It was something like that she said, and I just thought, so true. Like, let us have our kind of nerdy
fun. Very true. So
yes, Ireland in the first half of semi-final one, we seem to often draw these like pretty stacked semi-finals. I mean, overall, just at a glance, look, we don't have all the songs, we don't have all the artists, but, you know, there's countries with very strong qualification records in there. You've got countries who have been really upping their game in the last few years, who we know are building like good momentum, good national selections. We have, of course, Luxembourg as a returnee. That's definitely going to draw some attention, I imagine, when it comes to voting. Ireland in the first half of semi-final one. I mean, I think if your song is strong enough and the package is strong enough, it really shouldn't matter where you go in a semi-final. Like, we see it a lot of years. Countries can get out of slot 2, slot 3 from semi-final, you know, Armenia, brunette, yep, got out at spot number two last year. So it can happen. It can happen. Connor, where do you think, and obviously this is like a complete blind shot because we don't have other songs and artists, but where do you think we'll fall in terms of running order there? Do you think we're going to come right near the beginning of semi-final one, or, you know, towards the end of that half, closer to kind of ad breaks and such?
I don't know. It's hard to know with the songs. You know, we've only got like six songs, so it's hard to judge it. I don't think we'll open the show. I think we might be a bit too much of an opener, if that makes sense. I think you need to open with something that is great on the eye, draws you in, but also doesn't, you know, blow you away straight off the bat, because I think Bambi's show will be amazing. So I don't think that would be perfect for slot number one. I would probably say we might be closing the first half of the semi, the final song just before an ad break, I would say. Yeah, but again, it's hard to know. It's hard to know. I saw a few people suggesting that we'd be in slot two. There is no way in hell that this is going to be put in slot two. I think, in fairness, the EBU have been helping Ireland in terms of the semi-finals. You know, they know that we've been in the tough semi-finals. You know, songs that we typically would have put second, we haven't been put in that slot in recent years. So I don't think they would do us dirty this year. In saying that, we could be put in slot two.
Do you think though, Connor, I've noticed in like the last, say, year or two, they have been putting kind of random countries in slot two. Like, I personally think putting brunette, for example, last year in slot two was a little bit random. Like, do you think they're trying to shake off that like slot number two curse, as a lot of people see it?
Perhaps. I think, yeah, they definitely have been trying to do it, but I think knowing us and knowing our qualification record, they wouldn't do that. I would hope they wouldn't do that. In saying that, I think, let's say the Roop win for Lithuania, I could see them going into slot two. Someone with a bit more of a better track record in qualification over the last few years. Perhaps something like Serbia, which is a bit out there, you know, maybe Constructo wins in Serbia. I think Ukraine probably get avoided depending on who wins Vidbeer. Cyprus, potentially, we know we have a pop girly with that.
Cyprus could open.
Croatia then, if Let Three go again, they could be in the second spot because it's a bit quirky, a bit out there. It really depends on the songs. We have no idea what the songs are. So we're literally just basing it off.
Which would you prefer?
Nothing.
Which prefers to like be, say, in the first three or in the final four of that half?
Final four.
Yeah.
Because I think the second half is weaker with songs.
I actually don't care once we don't come after an ad break. I hate when we're put on after an ad break.
Before an ad break, I think it is perfect for us.
Yeah.
Closing the first half before an ad break, I think, would be beneficial. But this semi is very, very hard. Like we were saying, I think 13 out of the 15 countries in the semi-final have qualified last year.
Mm.
And, you know, Ireland is the only country with that. And Azerbaijan, that's not including Luxembourg, obviously, because they're just coming back. So it's a very stacked semi. I saw a stat as well. Nine of the countries have a 60% qualification rate above 60, a qualification rate above 60%, and the 10th country was like 55%. So it's a very, very hard semi-final. But
obviously,
like you
Ukraine
said,
having a full
100% as well. So
record.
It's a very tough semi-final to get out of it. But we have a lot of friends. UK, of course, are there. Sweden, Bambi is half Swedish, so there'll definitely be a draw of votes from there. Australia are very kind to us, you know, in previous years before. This type of song, Finland tend to love this sort of
Germany
songs as well.
Are voting.
Germany as well. So I think we have
Iceland.
A lot of friends. Iceland too. So personally, we'll talk about semi-final too, but personally, I would prefer to be in the tougher semi-final with our friends than be in the weaker semi-final with barely no friends. I think that's my personal thing. And like you said earlier, the song itself, I think the song, if it's good enough, it will qualify. And I think the stage show that I can imagine Bambi doing will be enough for us to get past the line. And to be honest, I don't care if we squeak through in the semi-final and do really, really well in the final. Once we get there, I don't care if we're first, second, ninth,
that's a
tenth.
Win.
Once we get there, who cares where we come in the semi-final? Once we have enough votes, that's all what I personally care about. But yeah.
I also just feel so like, on a side note, proud of the century that, like, if non qualifies, I'll be like, oh, you all have no taste. I'm so really proud.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just a delight to be sending something so different like this. But this could be a fun semi-final.
I think so too. And I think it's important just to say about Bambi before we move on, it'd be even more of a validation.
Yeah.
To qualify out of the semi-final.
I know Shocknessy did it out of a really tough bloodbath semi-one. Yeah. I know he had second half and that, but, like, he was always placed around Fuego and that was the runner-up. So, like, look, you just don't know. You just don't know. One thing I love in just in general, even Ireland aside, just about this whole allocation is I do prefer when the bloodbath is semi-final one because I always feel like I can relax more on the Thursday for semi-final two. And it's like the Mickey Mouse show rather than bloodbath semi-final. But also, another thing to bear in mind is there are some years you look at an allocation draw like this and you think, oh, for example, oh, semi-one's really tough. That'll be hard to get out of. And then all the songs come out and then you go, oh, actually, semi-two now is the harder one. So it's...
You're just basing it off the previous thing, but you can't really do that. No. You have to base it off the song that you get in the year that's in it.
Countries could surprise us and send a few flops.
I think it is good though, because they made a point of saying this in the allocation draw, that semi-one is actually very beneficial in terms of getting a social gathering.
Yeah.
You know, with TikTok and Instagram and building up a bit of momentum before Saturday night. So Bambi, if they get through, it would be great to build that momentum throughout the week and... You never know. See what happens. But
totally.
Look, it is a tough semi-final. We have a lot of friends. That goes in our favour. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. I think it's too early to call at this rate. But I have every faith. I'm very confident we're going to get through. So I don't know. Don't know how you feel on that boat. But
I think it's too early to say. I think I'm like afraid to jinx it. Do you know? Semi-final two then, Connor.
Yeah, semi-final two, which of course is taking place on the 9th of May. In the first half, we have got Albania, Armenia, Austria, Czechia, Denmark, Greece, Malta and Switzerland.
And in the second half, we have Belgium, Estonia, Georgia, Latvia, Netherlands, Norway, San Marino.
And voting in the semi-final, we've got Spain, France and Italy.
A nice little Mediterranean flair in the voting there. So, you know, they should be semi-final two participants should be appealing to the med nature, you know, I don't know. I was about to say some terrible stereotypes. I'm really bad for doing that.
Wee baguette. Throwback.
Do you know what they should do? They should make it a competition. Whichever act can spell Mediterranean the best gets through. So many people cannot spell that word. It's shocking.
Don't look at me to start smelling it.
Come here. Semi-final two. Fairly mixed bag, right? Fairly mixed bag. But
on paper, it's the weaker semi-final.
One extra country in that semi-final as it stands. It's an interesting bag for sure. I would say some of the national selections we know about for these semi-finalists are not hugely strong. We have Albania's song already. We have Czechia's song already. We have the Dutch artist already. That's looking good for the Dutch, I would say.
Yeah, it gives them a strong chance.
It's very early to say, but like if that artist can stand out enough, great. I mean, looking at what Norway has, a Melody Grand Prix, presuming that Kaino or is it Gata win? They're kind of the two favourites. I'm personally a Kaino girly, just saying. Dum digga dum digga dum digga.
I was waiting for that.
I'd say Norway could be a shoo-in, you know, for a very good result here in this semi-final. Kind of as always, you know, continuing on their very, very strong streak. This could be good for countries like San Marino, Malta, Georgia, Latvia. Those countries who've
Latvia's
been struggling a bit.
Out for me, I think Latvia could have a very good chance of
qualification this year.
I hope
Latvia can do it. I kind of hope they get, like, they can up their qualification records, do you know?
Because they were so close last year, so close, but ultimately it didn't work out. But I agree completely. I think Latvia have a good chance. Norway obviously have a very good chance of winning the semi-final based on, you know,
the information we have at the moment.
Yeah. I feel like Czechia could be our opener in a way.
Possibly.
Depends who. It depends what sort of songs we get. You know, Belgium second half pointing out with me with Musty as well. We don't really know. what sort of song he's going to send, either Estonia with Estilal. It's hard to know. It's really hard to know, but it's definitely the more mixed semi-final out of the two in terms of qualification rates. So there could be, you know, some surprises.
This is
going to
be the more random one, more than likely. I imagine Luxembourg would probably prefer to be in this semi-final because it's got France, Belgium, Netherlands, so on.
But yeah, see, Luxembourg have a tough semi-final in terms of they don't really have any friends. Mm. Someone made a good point that they historically been very kind to us with votes in the past. Now, obviously, it's been 30 odd years.
But then they might get that kind of benefit of the welcome back vote.
I honestly don't think people care.
No.
The general audience of Eurovision probably sitting there be thinking, oh yeah, they're great.
But you know what, actually, yeah, you're right. Well, the only thing to say is, though, we do know that generally that public vote in semi-finals, and we know now it's only public vote in semi-finals, there is a strong cohort of Eurovision fans within that. But we don't know the stats, of course, for sure.
Yeah, true.
Who knows what will be. But yeah, any more thoughts on semi-final two?
Nothing really, to be honest. I think it's definitely the more open of the semi-finals. I have no idea, really. I think just at the moment with the information, I think Norway are in a very, very strong position to win the semi-final. But of course, like we've got literally
in
no songs.
In 2 weeks, it could be flipped.
In two weeks, we could have all the songs and anyone could be qualifying out of that. Yeah, interesting to see. I've no idea. Like we said, it's so early on. But definitely the weaker on paper, if you look at it. But
and speaking of Norway as well, just to kind of move away from the allocation draw, we do know that this Saturday, the 3rd of February, is a super, super, super Saturday. There is a lot happening. Guys, let us know in our socials what you're following. We know Vidbeer is kind of kicking everything off 4 p.m. or so our time. That's the time you can kind of start, guys. Norway will be with us Irish time, kind of 6:50. So the Ukrainian and Norway finals this Saturday, as well as the Maltese and the Benidorm Fest at God knows what hour that will be. Lithuanian semi-final, or heat, I should say, Latvian semi-final. And of course, the beginning. Nuorvi Melody Festival in Heat 1 is starting on Saturday. I cannot wait. But yes, we'll have four more Eurovision songs added to the class of Eurovision 2024.
This is where things get interesting.
Well, Connor, we have a fair bit of catching up to do. We've kind of devoted January
really
to Ireland.
Yeah, we talked much.
Yeah, we have a fair bit of catching up to do, but we will get there. Connor, we may watch together. We may watch together.
I'll see what I'm doing. See if I'm free. See how I'm feeling.
He's weighing up his options. No, Sam and I will be watching. We're starting with Vidbeer. You're welcome over to my gaff, Connor, but if you have better plans, it's okay.
Vidbeer.
Yeah, we're starting with Vidbeer at 4 p.m. and we're going to work our way through. We are going out that night, so I just don't think we'll make Malta or Spain. What a shame. that's the honest truth.
I'm loving Benidorm Fest this year. I'll give it a bit of Benidorm, a bit of love.
I'll watch it on
catch up. Even though it's not as good as last year, but anyway.
I mean, the other thing is, you never know, like Chanel turned up in that semi-final in 2022. We were like, whoa.
Well, if it's anything based on last night's show, it was horrendous compared to the
but
previous
really
years.
What I really liked went out.
My two favourites, I can't remember them name-wise, but they were, I remember they were an astronaut and then
they
there
were
was
there.
The
astronaut one was the one
the
I liked.
The astronaut
yeah.
one, that was so good. But no, public didn't like it. Nobody liked it. Who was the other one then?
We're in Spain without the S.
Yeah, true. And then there was the other one. It was like the trio. It was very kiddie though, but I liked it. It was a bit cringe. I feel like you would have liked that as well.
They were like a mini S Club 7 sort of a vibe.
Yeah.
Or they were a bit like the Euro camp leaders who put on a show for the kids.
Yeah.
While the parents are chilling at the
it was
bar.
Very like that. It would have been a disaster at Eurovision, but I thought it would have
been
like
nice.
Is
that like
a
part of Irish childhood culture?
Mm.
The holiday reps.
Clara Lara like.
No, like when you're like, well, yeah, I did go to Clara, but I more mean when you're abroad, like you're in key camp in Spain or something.
Oh, yeah, off to the...
You're in the mobile home, like...
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then you're set up to the kids' club for the day.
And you'd be singing with like...
I got do, do, do.
Bush Bunny, yeah. And you'd be singing with like Bugs Bunny in a costume and it'd be like some fat, like random fella, like just sweating, trying to have a cigarette on the side. But well, that's what happened. Just trying to earn a bit of money. You'd be there dancing the Bugs Bunny costume.
Okay, I think you had very different holidays to me.
Yeah, traumatized.
No, but listen, Clara Lara, love that spot. Carlingford, that's where it's at.
We went there for TY.
Did
it's
you?
Still very crack though.
Oh, it's
yeah,
deadly.
We were in the apartments. We weren't actually in the complex. We were like privileged, so we got to stay in like the apartments. We used to just like sneak out of the thing and get drinks.
Oh, ah, Jesus.
What?
We don't encourage that on the air.
Oh, no, we don't
podcast.
Encourage it, but like it was great crack.
I do actually, not condone
oh my God,
this behaviour.
That's where I watched semi-final two in of Eurovision because I was in 2016 because it was Nicky Byrne and I was dying to get back. And
oh my God, you're so young. What the hell? You're TY in 2016. What the hell?
But literally, this is a very quick story, but we were in the apartment and I was like, oh, Eurovision's on at 8 o'clock, can't wait. Then we get a call down. Can I, my skill, please make it to the front door. We went on a hike. And I was chatting to the instructor. She was from Spain. And I was like, do you like Eurovision? She's like, yeah. And I was like, well, can we walk faster? Because it's the semi-final right now. And she was like, oh, semi-final. I was like, yeah, you're lucky. You get to the final straight away. But we have to suffer. So we got it back. Got back just in time for the result. Just in time for the NQ. And I remember being fuming. Yeah.
I have actually a TY story about me watching Eurovision. Oh. But it's going to give away the like age gap between us. The night Eurovision was on when I was in, by the way, for any international listeners, TY is transition year in a lot of Irish schools offer it. So our schools obviously did.
It's
when you're about
year.
16. It's kind of like work experience.
It's after like your first like major state exam. You kind of have a year to
relax. Some schools
relax.
Do better than others. Yeah. Like in some schools it's seen as like a DOS easy year. And then if your school is good for organizing things, it's good experience, whatever. But anyway, you're usually about 16 when you do this before your big, big exams. And anyway, the year Eurovision was on when I was in TY, I was on my Gashka walk.
Oh yeah,
do you know it's part
President's
of the Gashka
Award.
Thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you took it's just like it's like the equivalent of the Duke of Edinburgh in the UK or whatever, if that means anything to anyone. And you had to do like a certain amount of charity work, a certain amount of voluntary work, and then you had to do like a hike. My friends and I organised this big hike in the Phoenix Park, and we stayed in a hostel basically off O'Connell Street. And we got the 46A from where we live to O'Connell Street, and we went on our like 10k hike in Phoenix Park, however long it was. Got back to this hostel off O'Connell Street, and Jedward were performing Lipstick, and it was like a crowd of us and loads of Spanish and Italians and whatever else, and we were going mad. I remember Jedward getting 12 points. I was like, oh my God, we could do it. We were at the top of the leaderboard at 1.9. Yeah. I was going bananas. So as you can guess, all of these years later, 13 whatever years later, it's no surprise to my friends that I started a Eurovision podcast.
That is so weird though when you think about it, because I'm just thinking about where I was in that moment, because I remembered it so vividly, like being at home, sitting on the couch, like screaming when 12 points. Imagine like you were like 20 minutes away in town celebrating with
like... Yeah, but
like,
you were a child and I was like almost an adult.
No, but like still, like we were both young.
You still are a child to me, my son. My Eurovision husband and my son. Lads, let us know where you were when Jedward were getting 12 points. And let us know where you were when Nicky Byrne NQ'd.
Yeah.
More importantly.
Were you in Carlingford?
I enjoyed this random ad-lib.
This wasn't planned, lads, as you can imagine, but...
Well, it just shows you when we run out of Euro song content.
That's
like,
it. We're milking the cows dry in Malmö.
Good to kill a grow. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Kill and Grow segment of the podcast. Just to explain to any new listeners or anybody who's forgotten, this is the part of the podcast where we spread our love and our joy for the Irish language. I give Connor a phrase, a scuilge in the Irish language that has something to do with the Eurovision Song Contest. And Connor tries his very, very best to translate for all of you folk at home. Do play along and let us know how you find our Kill on Girl segments. And listen, it's educational. Okay? okay, it's educational. No one else has this language. We have it. It's beautiful. How wonderful that in Eurosong this year we had a song pretty much fully in Irish, and Erica's song had elements, and of course Bambi sang that beautiful Tordum. So Liz Irish language rep in our national final. Things we love to see. Hopefully we're knocking on the door again in another Irish language entry coming soon for Ireland. But anyway, enough of that propaganda for now. Back to the other propaganda. A crohor on Will to Ray.
Tom Ray.
Oh, Shay Ray. He's got an accent and all. He's a pro now. He's a pro. He's officially in higher level.
Tom Ayara.
What's that funny?
Capum. Gervyar. Lat. Railta. Na on Yalak.
Would you rather have a start in the moon? Or. Capum. I think. Or I thought. I thought you'd rather have a star in the moon.
You've got the right lyric, but like you're saying the lyric wrong. You've got the right lyric. So, bing, he's got it right. But what's the exact translation? I guess
you'd rather have a star in the moon.
There you go. Well done.
I knew Gaelic was moon and Raelta was semantics. Star.
What helped you?
Raelta is star and then Gaelic is moon.
Well done.
I remember that.
You got it. Thank just you. Semantics with the exact word, but you did very well.
Down in my doomsday blue.
I would love to hear a stripped back
jazz version of it.
Yeah.
Yes, you rather have a star in the moon.
Oh, he's clicking. Keep going.
I can't deal with you this episode.
Mahu. Come on,
guts. August slán go fóill.
Slán go fóill.
So you have guessed it. Yes, we have a very, very special guest coming up now on the Eurovision podcast. We so appreciate their time and their love and their grow because we know the last week has been a whirlwind. It has been overwhelming. It has been full of love. It has been busy. And most of all, it has been witchy because we are so, so delighted to share this interview with you, the recently crowned Eurosong 2024 winner, Bambi Thug.
Who's the 12 points going to Brooke? Let's make it official tonight. Off you go.
I'm so honored to say that our public have decided to award our 12 points to song 2, Doomsday Blue.
Connor and I are really, really excited to be joined in this section of the episode by Ireland's Eurovision 2024 representative, Bambi Thug. Woo! It feels so good to say that.
It feels so nice to hear that as well.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. I'm coming down from the excitement. I don't actually know if I'm coming down. I might be lying. It's just maybe sunk in a little bit more. Yeah, floating still, obviously. But I feel great. I feel full of love.
Oh, as you should.
Yeah.
We've got to say, you know, the performance itself was amazing and we'll touch on it. But post Eurosong, you have been smashing it left, right and center. Your songs have been in the charts. The performance itself is number one on YouTube still. You haven't left the top 10 iTunes charts either.
Radio play,
interviews left, right and center. Bambi, something special is happening. Something special is happening.
Yeah, something crazy is definitely happening. It is... I don't know, it it's such a rush. I mean, it feels like it's such a rush. Obviously, I've been working for so long. So I'm like, okay, it's right that it's happening. And people are like finding all my old music as well and being like, oh my God, what? And yeah, it's a whirlwind. And it was like a big avalanche almost. And I don't really know, I don't think anyone could prepare me for how hard it was about to like hit or how much response it would get. Like it's even in British press as well. Like, I don't know, it's crazy.
Bambi, we have to say as well, we were in the Late Late studio on Friday night, along with a lot of other Irish Eurovision fans. And the atmosphere in that studio was electric. It was like there was this shift in atmosphere towards Bambi Thug. Like the panel were on your side, the studio audience were like urging the public on your side. It was like the audience were reaching through the cameras to the RTV, were saying, vote for Bambi. You know, even before it got to the results, how did you feel with people being so behind you in the studio?
I was totally dissociated with the whole thing. but I felt very held. I felt, I definitely felt all the love. I was surprised that the studio audience were so much Bambi. Because I obviously knew that my friends, my family were there, but I didn't expect the rest of the people that I didn't really know to be so behind me. Also shout out to that, the girl who keeps getting tagged in that when you realize you're on TV. I love her.
That's our friend Alex. She's part of the Eurovision team.
I love Alex. She's putting a Bambi sign as well. I believe
your dancers deposited her with that sign. Is that right?
She didn't arrive to the venue with it.
Yeah, she was just given it and she said, amazing.
Yeah, no, I think my friends from Cork City, they brought up some signs and also brought up like empty signs with markers and were like, does anyone want to make a sign?
That is deadly.
So yeah, they definitely probably helped that as well. It was amazing. You know, even I don't know. Yeah, there was just so much love everywhere. So much love.
And we got to talk about the performance itself. Obviously, it was kept under wraps for quite a while. You can finally talk about it to us. Can you talk to us about the creative decisions that you went for in the end and the challenges that the Late Late Show kind of brought to you and how you contracted?
Yeah. So I guess like we kind of just wanted to make as much of a Bambi world as we could with what we were given or and with the restrictions of it being like a TV studio rather than a live performance venue. But the visual guys at RT worked very well with us. They took everything on board that we wanted really from that. And Sophie, who did my makeup, also did all the design of all the sigils that you saw on screen and all the they kind of revamped the Celtic symbols to be more metal as well. And I was asking for props like on the last day because they told me that there wasn't really enough time for props. And then I apparently heard that wrong. So I was allowed props, but all we had were like, they had some like trees outside. So I was like, get them in, put them in.
Put them down.
Put them down, put them in. And yeah, I like... My whole little queer family crew really came through with like the costume, which just wanted to be a bit ballet, bit Celtic-y, bit witchy and goth. And the one thing I will say, I wish the sound was better because I think in studio it did sound better for you guys. But we had heard the sound from whatever they sent to the juries the day before. And I just was like, the track is way too low. But I think they brought it up a bit for the actual show. I would have liked more reverb and stuff on my voice. But again, it is a TV studio, you know, like, and in Malmo, I think the levels will definitely be slightly just more... what's the word?
SVT and production go hand in hand. I think it's fair to say. Yeah.
Okay, great.
You can trust
But I was, do you know what? I was happy with it. Like, I kind of knew that my vocal would be super loud over the track, and I was happy enough with it. Like, I still obviously find fault in myself, but I kind of know where that is. I think I'll do less of the dancing maybe for Eurovision, so my vocals are steadier. But I'm happy. I was like a crazy, crazy, witchy demon on that stage.
Your performance was amazing. I personally would love to see like even cooler camera angles, if that's something you consider when you get to Malmö.
100%, 100%. I think that's something that we might even give in the brief of what we want. Like, I think that definitely the middle eight needs to be like very close, you know, like picking the moments. And yeah, I'm really excited. I'm so excited to have such a big stage and like a bigger budget to do things with. And yeah, whoa.
Speaking of your creative team, what are you thinking, or have you had a chance to think creatively about who you'll work with or what you'll do?
I have a few people who we want to add in to the creative team, but obviously I want to keep my crew as creative execs on it, really. Like, I think Joel now, Ouch Boy, we're kind of designing the costume together rather than them having to build it themselves. And then hopefully somebody will sort it out for us. And we just have so many ideas flying around about what the staging is. Like, we have a group chat is going 90. Our Pinterest is just jam full. And I really want to make something that's just stand out, because like, again, like even from Eurosong, like I was scared about being number two, like in the placement. And then I think it just shows that it doesn't actually matter what placement I'm in, as long as I make it a spectacle. And as long as it stands out. So I'm just going to make sure that we stand out.
We certainly will. We really will. Can't wait for it. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, post Eurosong. So the minute the credits roll, what happens? You just kind of go back to your dressing room, or is there any like official envelope handed to you from RTE to be like, welcome on board? Or what happens post Eurosong?
So I went backstage and everyone was clapping down the hallway, and there was like an after party kind of thing in the green room, but I only went in there for like, I think about 5 minutes, because I was just super overwhelmed. And then I kind of went back and was in the dressing room for a while. Michael just came to say congratulations, and we're going to get to work this week. So to kind of just take a break for the weekend, which I did. But we called into the Odeon and did a little impromptu performance there. But then we went home and we had tea and pizza. And then the next day I went for dinner with my makeup artist Sophie, and in Cork, brought them down to Cork, met my sister, and then we came back to my house and we just saw me on the news. And it's been pretty awesome. There's been no like crazy partying. That's not really for me anymore these days anyway. So I've just been trying to ground myself. But I've got a meeting now on Friday with Michael. And it's all beginning.
Start of the next chapter.
Starting.
Yeah. We got to talk about the Odeon performance, because it was amazing. You were up on the bar. You were in the crowd. You were everywhere. What was that like to finally kind of meet your crowd and meet the Eurovision fans that welcome you into the community?
Yeah, that, it was lovely. It was super lovely. Very scary for me to have a queue of people wanting pictures. And it was fun on the bar, but it was actually quite stressful, because when I played my other songs, I played Tsunami, and it was like were playing it at like double the speed of what it is. So I was like, and
you did it great though. No. I was singing along with you, and I was like, yes, go on, Bambi.
Yeah, it was a it was so nice. It was so nice. You know, I know a lot of people were going to the George actually, but I was like, nah.
Go with the fans.
So yeah, it was lovely.
So now we're obviously in the early stages of preparations, and yesterday the semi-final allocation draw took place, and we know that you'll be performing in the first half of the first semi-final, and we have a lot of other countries who have a great track record in terms of qualification and getting into the final, but we've never had Bambi Thug before. How are you feeling about that? How's your initial reaction of getting into the first semi-final?
Yeah, fine, to be honest. I mean, like, I know people, some people are like, oh, they're putting all the witches in the same semi-final. I think that's great. I want all the witches in the final. Bring us all, you know. And it's 10 spots from each semi-final, yeah. Right? It's fine.
Yes, Bambi.
I you know what? I think that the people who are allowed to vote for us will get the music as well. And thankfully, we've got the UK, who I think might be behind me, being able to vote. And I just hope that I either open the first half or close it. Mm. But again, wherever I am, fine. Whatever. yeah, I don't know. You know, regardless, I'm just going to be so unhinged and mystical for all of you.
Can I ask, I don't know if you know this, there's like a whole, for this season now up until May, there's like a whole pre-party tour circus. Like, you can opt in and out to what you want to do as an artist. Are you aware of this whole world of Eurovision that lies before you?
People have been asking me about the pre-party stuff, but I'm actually not too sure. Is it performances or is it just parties?
No, both. Depends. You know, some pre-parties are like 3-day events and others are one night. You know, it depends on.
There's a bit of press. Like, yeah. You may only have time at some of them to do the one song. It's okay. Opt-in, opt-out, really up to the.
But it's a good promotional kind of opportunity.
Well, then I guess we should really do as much as we can.
Amazing.
Because I think seeing me live really changes things for people, and I think maybe we should really take advantage of that.
And it's,
so yeah, I'd love to.
Especially over the last few years, we've seen our acts in particular grow so much, from the Late Late Show performance all the way through to wherever they're heading, whether it be Liverpool or Malmo in this case. You know, it's a great opportunity to get the crowd behind you as much as possible.
100%. 100%. When I love performing live, it's my favourite thing. So count me in.
We got to talk about a music video. I know you were teasing on your Instagram today about a Doomsday Blue music video. Can you give us any little hints about when we might see it or what that might entail?
Well, we have to shoot it pretty quickly, I think. I definitely want to use some beautiful pagan sites if I can in Ireland for bits of it. We're still kind of coming up with the storyline of the concept. I was on the phone to Storm, my creative director, last night talking about it. So it's definitely coming. But like everything, like all my music videos I do, like we kind of, not that they're rushed, but we kind of like, I think maybe it's a neurospicy thing where we're like, everything is just done.
There's a deadline, get it done.
There's a deadline, get it done. And then the visions, everything go with it. But I have some ideas. I don't want to give anything away.
I like the sound of pagan sites. I mean, we're a pagan country. That's unique to us. Let's show it off.
But we have so many beautiful places.
Yeah.
So. Especially in your postcard. It was beautiful, the places that
the gear,
Yeah, you looked incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bambi, there's been such a storm online about you. There's been so many clips going around.
TikTok, top 10 in the odds, by the way.
Top 10 in the odds.
I know.
There's so much love for you.
not only just from us, there's a lot from us, but like on behalf of Irish fans and Eurovision fans, there's so much love coming your way. What is your, do you have any message for people who are enveloping you with love right now?
That I feel it so, so much, and that I multiply it 10 times and send it back to all of you. And thank you so much for believing in me, and I'm not going to let you down.
Ooh, you never could. You never could.
Well, thank you so much, Bambi, for joining us on the podcast once again. Definitely not for the last time. We can't wait to join you on your journey to Malmo over the next few months. Best of luck with everything. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, guys. Lots of love.
And there we have it, our little chat with Bambi Thug, Ireland's 2024 representative for Eurovision. Oh, Lou, I don't know how you feel, but just speaking to them every single time, I just feel so at peace and so...
My cup is full.
I just feel so trustworthy of them. I don't feel stressed this year about Ireland and Eurovision. It's a lovely feeling to have for once. It's so nice.
Yeah, I feel like we're in good hands. We have a great team. I think I kind of mentioned this earlier in the episode, but I'm really, really proud of this entry no matter what happens. You know, there's just unfortunately probably due to our qualification record, there's kind of like this like doom... not doomsday blue, but like this dooming feeling of like, oh, we need to qualify. Like, can we eventually get to the final? And it's sort of, I don't want to lose sight of how beautiful this song is and how artistic this whole piece is, because look, ultimately it's in a tough semi-final. We really wanted to get through, but regardless, I think this entry is amazing and we are so blessed and so fortunate to have an artist like Bambi. I think I trust them no matter what they're going to do. They're going to bring a show to Malmö. How special that they're half Swedish and half Irish. I mean, what are the odds?
Stars aligned.
And the moon.
On the moon, yeah.
Such a fun ride. I loved their response to... I didn't want to overwhelm them when we were asking kind of about the build up to Malmö and the promo tour. They may not have even gotten to that yet.
It's not even a week since.
You know, but like they seem really like, yeah, let's do it. Like let's give this Eurovision thing like a proper go. And like that's the attitude you have to have.
Yeah, definitely. Throw yourself into the deep end and see what happens. But I think there's a lot of positivity around Ireland this year and it's good to see.
As there should be.
Yeah. For once.
Yeah.
For once.
No doomsday blue.
Yeah. And for anyone saying, oh, we're really annoying on Twitter and Instagram, let us be. Let us have our moment.
Who's saying that?
I've seen a few tweets saying Irish fans.
Irish people in general,
just like let us have our...
We always kind of are, but like sure.
But let us have our fun this year. We have an entry that we can actually do things for once.
Go away. It's not our fault we're good crack. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's your problem. You want to be us.
Reminds me of Mean Girls because I saw it recently. You're like really pretty. Thank you. Oh, so you agree? You think you're really pretty? Like, oh, so you agree? You think you're really good crack? Yeah, we are great crack. And what about it? What's
your problem?
There's a reason why when we go to the Euros, we're like, there's videos of Irish fans everywhere.
Yeah.
We're a passionate people.
Exactly.
We want things to shout for.
Yeah.
Give us the good news. Give us the doomsday blue. You know? Lots to be excited for. This was a lovely little chat. I'm sure not the last.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Can't wait to see the journey now to Malmo for them. And
Connor loves a good journey, don't you?
Yeah, I keep saying it a lot now.
The move to Malmö.
The move.
I feel like the Eurotrip podcast love doing this as well. They love having a little like, you know, leap to Liverpool.
Yeah.
They had like trek to Turin.
Yeah.
Wonder what they'll do this year. Eurotrip podcast, if you're listening, let us know.
We've to incorporate cows now somehow because I think that's just been our thing now.
The move to Malmö.
Oh, sweet
the doomsday
Jesus. On that note,
do you know that my first class teacher was obsessed with cows?
Do you hear yourself?
She was really
Did you know my first class teacher was obsessed with cows?
She was really obsessed with cows. And we used to all buy her like cow merchandise as presents.
The hell is wrong with her?
She, I know, she's from Donegal, so.
Lou just offended all the people in Donegal.
I have a vengeance against some Donegal folk. Long story. No, but
Listen, we used to all buy her, like, not Donegal, we used to all buy her cow stuff. And then she was out one day and someone knocked her cow mug off the desk and it smashed. And then we tried to hide it. Clever children. So, yeah, now Malmo might inadvertently make me think of my first class teacher.
Wow.
Miss McCahill, if you're listening.
Is she alive? Like, is she okay? No, but like, wait, some of my teachers are dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, no cows involved though.
Come on, here.
What?
No, she was like newly qualified, so she's
probably just cows. She's a bit odd.
No, she just loved cows.
Oh. But like, how's that come up in class?
Yeah,
like,
I love conga lines. Like, anyway, I'd like to apologise to people at Donegal. I have zebra print trousers. Big fan of those.
Whenever I think of zebra, I just think of Marley out of Madagascar.
Oh, yeah.
You do not.
Chris Rock, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
When he's not getting punched by Will Smith.
I love penguins.
My friend loves penguins.
Really?
The voice of Eurovision loves penguins.
Luke!
Luke loves penguins.
Eurovision.
Yeah, loves penguins. Why penguins, though? I love lions.
Oh, just so
I'm
cute.
Obsessed with lions.
Really? Yes. You love the Lion King, don't
yeah.
you? Yeah. I love penguins. I just love like how cute they are. They just have this little waddle. It's like me in the morning. Do you know the way like they like drop each other pebbles when they like each other?
Pebbles?
Yeah, it's like a way of penguins romancing.
Penguins romancing?
Oh, look, it's the animal world. They all have
no,
to do it.
Sorry, like penguins romancing.
Like, yeah, they're like, yeah, it's like a little like offering. They're like, oh, here, have a nice pebble. I'm in love, you know?
I'm in love with the penguin.
That's how Sam got me.
On that note, let's park.
I wonder how much of this is going
to... You can tell we're David Attenborough wannabes now with our history.
Wannabes. I love David Attenborough.
Do you?
Yeah, he's great.
I love his voice, but I couldn't sit through a documentary. I just cry at him getting killed and all, like the whales and... Poor little bird be on the thing and then fucking shark come and eat it. Like,
that's Mother Nature, isn't it?
It's the way of life.
The circle of life.
Bloody hell.
There's three things certain in life: death, taxes, and Ireland being in a tough year, which is semi-final. I saw a tweet. I'm not going to claim that. I saw a tweet of that the other day. Can't remember who wrote it.
Heck's sake.
Anyway,
I'm in delirium here. I have no idea what the last hour of this podcast has been. The only thing I remember is Bambi.
This.
Yeah, this weird little episode of Eurovision. You did a bit of history, you did a bit of geography, you did a bit of...
It's educational. Irish language, Cheol an Gra.
Yeah, bloody hell. But
Shin. Anyway, where can people find us?
Yeah. You can find us on the nature programs now at this rate. We're on the Animal Network. But no, you can find us on all our socials. You can get us on Instagram at Eurovision Podcast, on Twitter or X at Eurovision Pod. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you search Eurovision Podcast. And please leave us a little review and 5-star review if you have the time, so it helps other Eurovision fans find us. You can send us an email at EurovisionPodcast@gmail.com or find us on TikTok, which is blowing up recently with content. So head over and follow us at Eurovision Podcast. Of course, if you missed any of those links, you can visit our link tree. It is on our Instagram and you can find all the links there. But for the moment, from myself and Louise, have a great Super Saturday and we will catch you very, very soon. But from all of us here, all we got to say is...
Slán go fóin.
Slán go fóin.
Meet me in Paris on the shores of Elysee tonight. We could be in Rome again.
Leave the Trevi Fountain light.
We should be...